All right. Thanks for waking everybody up, Ralph. I appreciate that. And thank you so much for the organizing committee to give me a chance to discuss my research. So I'm interested in assembly mechanisms for distant galaxies. And so from my vantage point, I want to take the unique measurements you can do here in the Milky Way, the star-by-star abundances and kinematics, and maximize the ability of those statistics to constrain the history of the galaxy. And it's exciting to understand that this boundary condition, this redshift zero boundary condition, is becoming, you know, as Mark would say, is snapping more and more into focus. But even so, people are clever. You still have a lot of freedom with what the galaxy is doing 10, 11, 12 giga-years ago in your model, and still match what we see here today. And so I'd like to convince you real quickly that if we add some of the data available to us at high redshift, that we can really put additional constraints on theory and really start to demand better answers out of our community. And just a little, the case study that I'll do here is just looking at the vertical structure in kinematics today and in the past, and I'm going to try to convince you that it points to a relatively novel disk formation mechanism. So the simulated galaxy that we're going to look at today is H277. For the purposes of this talk, its properties at redshift zero are within, you know, 20% of what we think the Milky Way looks like. The big deal here is this is a high-resolution cosmological SPH simulation that has a relatively quiescent accretion history since redshift 3. And the redshift zero constraint that we're going to look at is the stellar age velocity relationship. This is data from, this should say 2009. This is data from the Geneva-Copenhagen survey. And what you can see here, we're going to pay attention to the sigma W here, the vertical velocity dispersion of stars as a function of age. But you can see that there's this nice power law relationship between the two. And this is generally interpreted as a heating law, basically the that all your, where's the stick? Yeah. That stars are born in some cold ISM component, and as they're as they age, they are subjected to some population of perturbers, and as they age, they get to heat along this relationship. So in H277, at the end of 13.8-ish giga-years or so, I can go and recreate the GCS survey at the location of the sun within the galaxy, and we measure this for the stellar age velocity relationship in the vertical dimension. So the GCS here is in this dashed blue line, and data from the simulation here is in this red line, and you can see that the slopes are incredibly close to each other. I'm not trying to say that we're matched the Milky Way. That's not the big deal here. What I am trying to say is that the steepness of this relationship has traditionally been difficult to match, and the fact that H277 is getting a steep age velocity relationship is interesting and worth exploring, which we'll do in the next few minutes. So how does this age velocity relationship come about in H277? If you want to know what the, you know, we're looking at stars and their kinematics, and if you want to know where stars obtain their kinematics when they were born, they're born out of some gas, and we can look at the evolution of the star-forming gas reservoir within H277. And I'm just showing what the vertical velocity dispersion of that star-forming reservoir looks like as a function of time. If you like thinking in redshift, that's on the top axis here. And what you can see is that generically, the star-forming gas reservoir starts off with a high velocity dispersion, and as time goes on, that gas is continuously settling. And here's just a little cartoon version of what's going on, that your gas is progressively getting thinner and thinner and becoming more elongated as you accrete high angular momentum material. And as that reservoir is collapsing, you get to form stars. So here I'm showing the vertical velocity dispersion of the stars that were born roughly four and a half giga-years after the Big Bang. And I'm plotting the stars that were made in the disk. I'm showing that their vertical velocity dispersion is there. So you're continuously forming stars out of this collapsing gas reservoir. And what's nice is this begins to match resolved kinematics of disk galaxies at high redshift. So this is a compilation, the latest compilation from the Chemos team, Chemos 3D team from Wisanowski and collaborators. And basically, these are IFU resolved kinematics of H-alpha maps. So they're doing young stars in disk-dominated galaxies. And they're showing that young stars, as you go from high redshift to low redshift, the dispersion of those young stars drops with time. That galaxies at high redshift are hot, and they are settling over time. And this is shown not only in these IFU surveys, but also using long slits. Susan Kasson and collaborators also showed this in detail from redshift 1 to 0. So galaxies are continuously, they're collapsing over time, they're settling, rather than becoming more and more heated, as the traditional explanation of the age-velocity relationship would tell you. And here I'm just showing what H277 looks like about redshift 1, and you can see that they're within this gray band, and you can ask me afterwards where that gray band comes from. But what I'm trying to show here is that the young stars of H277 at redshift 1 match what we see, or what others see at high redshift. Sorry? We'll go to the last slide, all right? Good question, though. That's great. So as the gas is collapsing, you get to continuously form stars, and the stars, the kinematics of the stars trace that gas. So each of these points is just showing what the young stars, what the velocity dispersion of the young stars at each of these snapshots is. After the stars, how am I doing? Anybody? So after those stars are formed, they're still subjected to whatever heating is going on, right? There are still perturbers, there's still gas, there's still molecular clouds, et cetera. And so here I'm just saying the stars that were born, each of these lines just represents the evolution in the vertical velocity dispersion for that stellar population. So young stars that are born at this time out of this hot gas are born here, and then they heat and they wind up here at redshift 0, okay? And so on and so forth, that the young, you know, young stars born a few giga-years ago heat and wind up here at redshift 0. And so it's not that heating does not happen, but that the age-velocity relationship is being set by the kinematics of the stars as they form in situ. And so this, again, is just showing old stars and young stars, and this would be your measurement for your z equals 0 age-velocity relationship. And since I have a little bit of time, I'll say that you can look for 2013, where we go through this upside down, what we call the upside down growth of the disk, and show how that matches a lot of the monoabundance results that have come out of Joe's work. Okay, so kind of touching upon Julio's question, or I think it is at least, is right here in this black line, I'm showing you the cold star-forming gas reservoir. And this gas should collapse on a dynamical time. You'd expect it to collapse on a dynamical time. So something must be retarding that collapse. And so this is, so what is it? And we could be, what I'm showing here is that it basically winds up being that the star formation within the simulation is responsible for giving pressure support to this collapsing disk. This is the star formation rate against the scale height of that star-forming gas reservoir, and you can see these points here are color-coded now by the age of the galaxy. These are old points. So as the galaxy evolves, as time goes on, you follow this relationship, and you can see that this is basically linear. This deviation from linear is when the last interaction, a satellite, is interacting with the galaxy and disrupting this relationship between the two. And if you just go through a little Toomere stability argument, Krumholtz will tell you that the star formation rate and the scale height of your star formation region should be linear related. So this is you expect this to happen, and we see this in the simulation. And what this is telling you is that the star formation history of the galaxy is related to its present-day structure. And that's a very interesting thing, given how many star formation histories we are going to be able to obtain in the near future. So I will conclude soon, and basically just say that to really get the age-velocity relationship of the Milky Way correct, I think you do have to form these stars hot. I think traditional heating models, where all the stars form cold, they run into issues that you can ask me about either now or offline, so that these stars really do have to form hot. This is not this result, this upside-down disk formation, is not unique to our simulations. AMR codes also find this, etc. Also, by forming the disk upside down, you're able to match these kinematic observations at high redshift. Again, just heating up your disk over time, you would totally miss the trends that everybody sees at high redshift. And that we think we have a nice signature that star formation is really providing the pressure support to this gas disk, so it doesn't really collapse over just maybe 500 million years or so. And I think this is a really powerful technique of basically taking these high redshift scaling relationships. Andre and others have been doing this to constrain feedback mechanisms, basically looking at things like the size luminosity relationship to describe the efficiency of feedback. You also have communities trying to follow the stellar mass halo mass relationship, which was discussed before. That actually gives you a constraint kind of on your star formation prescriptions. So you start to add all this high redshift data and the constraints here at the Milky Way today, and you really start to make strong demands on your galaxy formation models. All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. Question. Many, many questions.
Good.
Jonathan, very nice work. I agree with everything you said. I just have one question about the comparison with high redshift data. Can you show this plot?
Sure.
So as you know, I think you mentioned also that the scale height and velocity dispersion correlates with star formation rate, in particular with surface density of star formation rate. And that's been seen that actually Hans Walter Riggs had a paper with Tambura on this, that there is a nice correlation between sigma gas and sigma star formation rate.
Yes.
So I think in the sample you're comparing to here, I mean, your galaxy is quite small because it's essentially L star today, whereas most of the galaxies redshift 2 to 3 in that sample are actually starbursts. So they are not like your progenitors.
I wouldn't say these are necessarily starbursts, but these are all normalized to have a baryonic component of 10 to the 10.5. So they're definitely bigger than the simulated galaxy. But I mean, this is a wide range of dispersions here. So I would expect, yes, I think there is a mass dependency. I think the larger mass you are, maybe the higher your star formation rate and the larger your velocity.
Yeah, the since galaxies are like, they're monsters.
Yeah. Oh, that's not no, that's not true. These are all rotation dominated. These are
yeah, but they're massive and they're.
Oh, so fine. We can go to the Susan Kasson's results, where we go from redshift 1 to 0 of long slit spectroscopy of disk galaxies, and you see the same thing there. You see that the dispersion in H alpha is going down as a function of time.
So where is your galaxy actually? Is it the star?
So it's the star. This is, you know, qualitative. I can show you synthetic. I did synthetic IFU observations of the galaxy, and you see that it's also the dispersion of the young stars is going down with time.
My point is just that there's a mix of star formation rate in the points on this, and sigma depends on star formation rate. So you may be comparing apples to oranges in this.
Absolutely. Sorry, this is a very qualitative. I literally drew a star on this today. I'm not trying to say that, look, the H277 matches this perfectly. I'm trying to say that there is a trend seen at high redshift that even from redshift 2 down to redshift 0, whether you look at massive galaxies that may or may not turn into ellipticals, or you look at smaller galaxies from redshift 1 to 0, you see this general gas settling with time. Absolutely.
This dispersion should be much lower if you trust those scales. And so the fact that they're there tells you that this cannot work.
So I will say that the star formation rate of H277 over the last, you know, 8 gig years or so is within a factor of 2 of even, you know, something from Ulmer and Binney and Frontinelli and stuff. It has a nice nice slowly declining star formation rate. So you could say here, for instance, we could say, you could say maybe the supernova is coupling too strongly, for instance, for a given star formation rate, maybe the disk here is a little bit too puffy. And so that's a detail that you can imagine, with better constraints, you can imagine constraining the efficiency at which your star formation energy couples to the ISM. So there are plenty of details and plenty of knobs to turn within the simulation that may be wrong, but this general trend of the gas settling, I think is becoming relatively robust.
So lots of things to discuss over the reception, but let's go there.
So I think this is great. It's sort of neocon egg and Linden melon sandwich.
Yeah, absolutely. Monolithic collapse on a disk scale.
And then
cool.
Just a comment. It'd be really nice to have measures of the molecular velocity dispersion.
Absolutely. So in this one, you get down to the gas at redshift zero. Sorry to interject. You get down to like 6 to 7 kilometers a second, which is basically what we see for the molecular clouds in
yeah,
the Milky Way.
But you'd love to see this diagram with redshift done.
Oh,
which
yes.
Alma
yeah.
is going to do.
Yeah.
So it's not clear that this is exactly what you... It's not telling you exactly what you want. It's a tracer, as you say.
Yeah.
And then people also should notice that the error bars aren't exactly
yeah, these
tiny.
Are huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so, the so only point I'm trying to make here is that this is a large number and this is a small number. Like that's
yeah.
all.
So it strikes me, you know, this could be a neocon WMD situation here. So the question is, do you have a multi-phase or at least a two-phase ISM?
Absolutely. So this goes to the temperature floor here is actually sub 100K, and you in this particular simulation you're actually fully there is a molecular component, and actually that's crucial to getting your young stars cold enough at late times, and that gives you a steeper slope to actually the AVR.
Last question.
Sorry. So Jonathan, are you able to match the distributions, the population distributions in the thick disk? So you're saying this is a
for
mechanism.
Metallicities now, or what are you?
Just number distribution, right? So in terms of scale height, right? You're saying that this is what gives you a better looking thick disk now, right? This is the proper evolution to the thick disk that we have now. Have
actually,
you looked at that?
Actually,
or?
I'm showing. Excuse me, I'm showing basically the last 9 gigayears or so of the stuff that's really covered by the age-velocity relationship. And so depending upon your definition of thick disk, you might say the thick disk is really stuff that's, you know, 10 and a half and older. And so here I'm showing that, you know, even the thin components of the disk is really, there's this disk settling because the galaxy's basically been able to hang out, and just that gas wants to dissipate, but you have this equilibrium between star formation and the contraction. Sorry, I don't know if I.
Well, it's not that if you give it time to settle down to zero, do you match the same sort of relative distribution in scale height, so the number of stars in
So the trend certainly, the detailed quantitative comparison between the Milky Way and here. One, I don't know. It should be done. I don't even know how useful it is because there are plenty of things wrong with this simulation. There's so many knobs to turn. It's really just getting after this. This is a big change to say the vertical structure of the disk is shrinking over time rather than getting more and more puffed up. And so just. Yeah, no, I should be done. Yeah. Anyway, thank you.
Thanks. We'll continue during the
Good
discussion
point.
Session, so don't run away too far. Final talk of today is by Elena Nongia about phase wrapping the galactic disk and formation of the thick disk.